So, filled with gratitude, the line that rather struck me out of our scripture passage this morning from the gospel, and it's interesting how when you come to a particular section of the Bible and you know, it's a familiar story. I'm sure all of you are familiar with this story. You might have even been able to tell it. But the line that stuck with me was, did none of them return to give glory to God except this foreigner? If Jesus' words never strike me as strange, if Jesus' words never cause me some sense of unrest, if Jesus' words never trouble me, then I can be sure of one thing. I can be sure that I am missing something important. Luke here narrates one of Jesus' miracles of abundance. Instead of the healing of an individual, Jesus makes 10 people suffering from a skin disease well. The New Revised Standard Version, updated, correctly opts for skin disease rather than leprosy, which I'm sure you are all familiar with, as it has become clear to scholars that the modern form of skin disease we call leprosy is not identical to the condition Luke and other gospel writers refer to as leprosy. As Matthew Thiessen has argued, leprosy did not exist in the ancient Mediterranean context in which Jesus healed and Luke wrote. Instead, he argues, the sloughing off of the skin that resembles a decomposing corpse pointed to the origins of impurity, death. Here, Jesus resists this deadly force, the very source of the impurity, not just healing a disease, but battling the encroachment of death upon human life. In short, this is a healing that points to Jesus' extraordinary power to defeat death and its minions even before he faces a Roman cross and a tomb. Jesus' abundant healing, however, remains unreciprocated by the bulk of its recipients. Only one of the healed returns to give him thanks. And the one who returns is a Samaritan, a foreigner. Earlier in Luke 10, Jesus highlights a Samaritan for the mercy he shows a stranger left for dead by bandits, a clearly surprising conclusion to a story we now all know all too well. That it would be a familiar enemy who might deliver us from danger is an alarming confrontation of our most cherished values. Just one chapter earlier, right after Jesus begins his sojourn to Jerusalem, a Samaritan village chooses not to welcome him. Incensed disciples, having been granted by Jesus power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases, feel emboldened to strike back. They offer to destroy the village and its inhabitants, only to be confronted by Jesus' rebuke. In short, the wider Lucan context prepares us to see in the Samaritan who returns a surprising end to this miraculous healing. And yet it seems that Jesus' statement is more than a mere observation of fact, a neutral note. Jesus' words also seem to have an edge of condemnation or dismissal to them. It's all in how you read it, isn't it? As I once heard Anna Carter Florence note in a sermon, Jesus does not even speak to this healed leper, but speaks over him. The foreigner is barely present in this scene. One of the 10 who were healed, or only the one has acted faithfully. Why does Jesus seem to dismiss this act of thanksgiving? Why does he seem surprised that an outsider would comprehend the enormity of his healing, but nigh insiders would misunderstand. Now, we need to remember, we're only hearing the story of the one who came back. We don't know why the other nine left and went to see a priest and maybe went home and celebrated and told this story in their home context. We don't know that. The gospel doesn't record that. But this may be a recognition of the experience of the foreigner is an essential in proclaiming this text. Turns it around. After all, the experience of the foreigner is unenviable. Familiarity is fleeting for the foreigner. On the one hand, the foreigner's new home is never quite home. Many will dream of returning to the land of their birth, but this first home is a place that can no longer really exist. Once the foreigner has left home, the home itself changes, but so also does the one who migrates to a new land. For most, returning home is a dream, a pure nostalgia that can easily rot into resentment, decline, and despair. Their new home is their true home, though it may never feel that way. Now, the Hebrew scriptures are all too familiar with the experience of the foreigner. Among this week's lectionary texts, which we didn't hear, but from Jeremiah, we hear the prophet telling his fellow Israelites to embrace lives as foreigners in Babylon. He tells them to seek the welfare of the city and contribute to its thriving. Build homes, for the homes to which you hope to return are no longer. Create new family links, for your kin are with you and are not to be found back in the land you once called home. Seek the welfare of the city of your exile, for it is now your city. And yet, at the very same time, Jeremiah invokes God's promises to God's people, declaring that their return to Israel was assured by God. There are incredible tensions of living as a foreigner in another's land. We might also recall Leviticus exhorting its readers and hearers to recall their former state as enslaved people in a foreign land as they considered the treatment of others. The experience of living as a foreigner is an interpretive and ethical key of sorts for those passages and these experiences. To experience or even remember exile and displacement is to draw near to a tangible experience of God's mercy and judgment. Though they are no longer foreigners, the memory of being a foreigner is no less acute. These reminders of the tangible realities accompanying the life of a foreigner strike me as particularly pressing these days. In our politics and our wider culture, we tend to hear foreigner deployed as a description all too often. And yet, we can only decry the presence and powerful stories of foreigners in our midst by neglecting our own exilic ancestry, both personal and biblical. Moreover, decrying the presence of foreigners in our midst leads us to miss a critical theological insight. The foreigner can approach the grace of God in a particularly insightful way, a path of insight that may now be lost to many of us. After all, the foreigner understands the sting of oppression. She understands the usually unavailing nostalgia that accompanies exile. She understands the rootlessness that characterized the foreigner's life. These are all experiences that shape the story of Israel and its Messiah. Without them, the narrative of God's action in this world is incomplete. The foreigner is a vital presence among us. The foreigner is a reminder of the pain of displacement many of us have felt. The foreigner is a reminder that God's promises know no boundaries or borders, that God's grace will not abide by the arbitrary lines we draw between ourselves and others, that God consistently finds the most unlikely proclaimers of the good news as the best choice of all to announce God's will. We don't get to ignore reality, nor the worries we carry in our hearts, not the world of homelessness, racism, or the need for a universal livable income and basic health care for all, nor the yearning for food security, attention to the climate crisis, or the longing for just peace and safe shelter. These are the very places where God is calling out to us. Here in the suffering, here in the worry, here in the call to action. And we remember these words of Jesus. Do not worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. There is more than just worry available to us. Jesus meets us in our worry and anxiety. Jesus is present in the places of deepest need. Thanksgiving is not a cure-all, but it is something. It aligns us. It helps shift the density of our worry. It lifts our hearts. It generates good vibrations in our troubled world. So give thanks these days. Affirm glimmers of goodness when you see them. Sing songs of gratitude. Offer gifts that help your neighbors and those in need. Be kind. Let your prayers of thanksgiving root you in the present. Let your worries open you to the one who is present amid them. Do not worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. May we go and make it so. Thanks be to God. Amen.